5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Live from Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, KFKA. Ready to go here on, I guess a reaction kind of Monday. Here we are again. Very difficult situation to be in for this Broncos team. Boy, that was a cluster. I mean, how do you have this amazing defensive performance yet again, and you're going to come up empty like this? Oh, my goodness. You scored 10 points in a must-win game to keep you in the playoff hunt. They're not out of it mathematically, but it sure feels like it today. And you brought up this point, Angel, last week. Our other producer, Michael Kirkpatrick, mentioned it too. He's like, these Bronco fans are driving me crazy with this up and down, up and down. Well, that's because what are the Broncos? They're 7-7. The fan base goes with the record. That's how it goes. If things were better, I mean, you think Cincinnati right now is crying? No, they're very happy. Okay, we lost two in a row. We found a way to bounce back and beat the Broncos, 15-10. Now we're at four. They're fourth in the AFC. That's, you want to keep fans from being inconsistent and bitching about you every other week? You have to win. You have to put together some winning streaks. And when you're 7-7. And the history of Vic Fangio has been, what, 5-6 wins. There's no build. There's no like, oh, well, 7-7 in the first year. That's, if this was the Lions right now, you'd be going, oh, hell yeah. We may not make the playoffs, but we're on the verge. You got a 62-year-old head coach. All right, so I ran right into it. I didn't want to start. I wanted to start this way. This is the way to start this. Good news out of Broncos headquarters. Quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is out of the hospital, has a concussion. That looked 10 times worse than a concussion. I feared it was spinal when he just goes down and he's limp. That kind of stops all of our hearts at that point. It's bigger than the game. It is. Anytime you see a guy going off on a stretcher and they have to take the face mask off, it's absolutely terrible. So that's my apologies. I get worked up. Got to start with that. That's the good news. If it were bad news, obviously worse news, we would have no doubt started with that. But when you see the concussion, we kind of thought that was going to be the case yesterday, that it was all precautionary, but it pretty much knocked him out. I mean, he dropped. So bummer there for Bridgewater. It's terrible, devastating. Thank goodness, though, that it sounds like everything is, well, for concussion, is as good as it can be. He is now in the concussion protocol. If the NFL cares about safety, there's no way Teddy Bridgewater should play against the Raiders. You don't drop down and almost lifeless for at least a few seconds and then play on Sunday. So it should be Drew Lock starting at quarterback. And this is not a Drew Lock Teddy Bridgewater debate anymore. This is, the guy's in his second concussion this year. You need to start Drew Lock.
Yeah, it's definitely a safety thing, because that wasn't the only concussion I saw this weekend. There were two, three other guys that hit their heads and just went motionless.
Yeah.
And that's always terrifying to see.
Well, it seems like you're seeing it more and more. Guys almost trying not to hit heads more. I don't know what that is, but it does suck. And those of you idiots on Twitter that were thinking, oh, now we get to see Drew Lock come in, that's not the way you want it to happen. Now, was I wanting it to happen for other reasons? Yes. Drew Lock was more effective as a starting quarterback yesterday than Teddy Bridgewater. He was. Argue with me all day long. The stats back it up. And okay, they just signed Tim Patrick and Courtland Sutton to big deals, right? Did I say Tim Patrick? I did say Tim. Okay, I thought I said Tim Sutton and Courtland Patrick. That would be a nice mix. Well, they both signed at like the same time, so you can forgive me for mixing them up on occasion. You throw the ball up to them once in a while. You see what they can do. Hell, man, how many times does Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers just throw it up? They make a million great throws. But how many times do you say, that's just throwing it up in the air, seeing what your guy can do?
No, I mean, other than my memory, other than the Drew Lock touchdown, you didn't see a lot of downfield passes.
No, I mean, Drew Lock was starting to go down. He did a couple of nice out routes. But Teddy Bridgewater is the kind of quarterback that if you know, you need 20, he's going to throw 5. That's what we were seeing. Drew Lock was more effective when he was in as the quarterback. Until the read. option. Oh, boy. Before we get into that, Angel, why don't we jump over to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. I want to get to all that. I have a lot of badness to talk about, a lot of ugliness. But there is some good. It's not from the weekend. It's stretched out to last week. My player of the week, I'm sorry, but anytime you put 33 points up against a top 10 team in the country, I'm going to lean your way. I love the Joker. But my player of the week, presented by Red Wing Shoes in Greeley and Johnstown, is Dalen Kuntz.
Bodie's going to push it the other way. Bodie drives down the lane, lost it, picked it back up. Kick out to Kuntz for a three try. That one is good. Dalen's going to drive right, got inside the paint, turns and fires 10 footers up there and in. Kuntz top the key, unloads a three. Got it. Bounce your left corner. Kuntz again a three. Count it. Dalen goes down the lane, lost it, picked it back up, fires. The jumper is good. Rattles home. Dalen Kuntz comes off the pick. He drives left down the lane. Little runner up there and good again. Left to right comes Dalen. Driving left again. Got down the lane again and slams it home. Oh, my, what a play.
Jerry Schimmel on the call. That was against Arizona last week. They go up against Washington State on Saturday. He gets hurt early in that one with an ankle injury. But what a game by him against one of the top teams in the country. 33 points, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, and 2 assists. At Arizona on the 15th. Congratulations, Dalen, my friend. Appreciate you, my friend. We'll be talking to that guy very, very soon on the program. As for the bad, the Broncos lose.
We're calling their game right now. Fake it. Burrow lays it up there. Caught by Boyd. Makes a move upfield. Tyler Boyd looking for the angle. He's got it. Touchdown, Cincinnati.
Ugh. Well, that was the one bad thing that the defense did. Really, I mean, for the most part, they were good. And the ugly, which is going to have a wonderful debate today. The fumble, the takeaway on the read option that should have never been called.
Fitzpatrick, the big body receiver down here. The fake. Left.
There's no way for me to say that was a good play by Drew Lock. It wasn't. It was the wrong read. But how many times do the Broncos run a read option? How many times? Not very often. I don't have stats in front of me, but I know what I see. Teddy Bridgewater is not a read option quarterback. Drew Lock's not a read option quarterback. There's not that many of them that will consistently put up read option type numbers to make you think that they're read option quarterback. Then there's this idea that, hey, Pat Shurmur's probably told Drew Lock, make sure you hand that ball off. Then just hand it off. What was going on, guys? I mean, we could sit here till we're blue in the face and say it's all Drew Lock's fault. I'm just going to do this. You guys are discrediting the coaching staff, the importance of a coaching staff. If you think it was all 100% on Drew, what's the point of a coaching staff? What's the point of Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur's job?
To coach the players?
To put them in the, yeah, to coach the players, to put them in the right position, to if they have a guy here that they think is good at this, then I need to make sure these are the plays.
Well, yeah, you're paid to understand your personnel and put them in situations to win.
Like maybe starting Jerry Jeudy 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage all the time. How is he going to beat his guys? He's the fastest guy out on the field. And you're giving him your defense a 5-yard head start because you keep running fake jet sweeps that you never actually hand off to. So, yes, it's a coaching staff's job to put their players in the best position to evaluate their talent. What are they good at? What are they bad at? What can't they do? What can they do? Can Drew Lock read defenses? I don't think he can. Not very well. Can Drew Lock run the ball like Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray? Can he do those things? Then why are you giving him the option to? Drew Lock is in desperation mode. He wants to be a starting quarterback. Your job is to sense that, to know the situation. So when you give him a read option play and there's a slight window, a slight sliver, he's going to try to take off and be a hero. You also mentioned that the snap wasn't fantastic on that read option.
No, a lot of things went wrong there. The play call itself wasn't great. The situation in the game, I don't remember how much time was left, but you're only down by 5, so possible set up a field goal, worst case scenario, but the snap itself was bad. Drew didn't get a good handle on the snap. And by the time, when you're doing a read option like that, it has to be very quick thinking. Yeah. And he didn't have time to think. He's fumbling with the ball, and next thing you know, a D ends in his face.
What has led us to believe that he can do that? That quick-thinking read option. What has led you to believe that? We all talk about his turnovers ability. Why would we think for a second that that was the right call?
Well, I think from a coaching, you might think, okay, Javonte's running the ball pretty well. They're probably expecting us to run it inside the 10. So, yeah, let's try to get cute. Let's try to overthink ourselves. And, oh, they're going back the other way.
Worst case scenario, you kick a field goal.
Yep.
You're second and goal on that play.
You're down by two with a few minutes left, make another play. But, you know, you got to get points.
You got to get points. And, I mean, it's just, I tell you, man, this coaching staff, I've never been so obviously blown away by how bad they are. Let's look at the drive. Let's look at that drive to get them there. Okay, so we're ending let's see, I got to get there. Okay, first and 10, Drew Lock pass short right to Noah Fant. That was 2 yards. Second and 8, Melvin Gordon left to Denver 27 for no gain. He fumbles, but they say it's recovered. They review it, got the ball back. Broncos, 3rd and 8, shotgun. Drew Lock pass short left to Albert O. Get the first down. 1st and 10, Javonte Williams, right tackle, -1 yard. Drew Lock, incomplete. Now it's 3rd down and 11. Drew Lock pass and complete deep right to Cortland Sutton, pass interference. Okay, you're moving the ball down the field. Next play, shotgun. Javonte Williams, right end, 7 yards. 2nd and 3, Drew Lock pass and complete deep to left to the left side to Tim Patrick. 3rd and 3, Javonte Williams right end push for 7 yards, 1st down. Melvin Gordon left tackle off the left tackle for 13 yards, another 1st down. Melvin Gordon again, another 1st down. 2nd and goal. So what do we learn from that drive, Angel? They're running the ball.
Yeah, it seems a lot of Williams and Gordon there.
They're running the ball. Why? Oh, you know what? We don't trust Drew Lock at all. We don't trust him. We said it was a 50-50 quarterback competition, but he lost the job. We don't want to put him in. Even when Teddy Bridgewater's really struggling, even when he was hurt, he probably shouldn't have played against Cleveland. They still played him. Let's do all those things. We don't believe in the guy. But let's put it in his hands to give him the option and read a defense whether he should hand it off or run.
I thought they were both 50-50, but I don't think either one could have run the read option correctly.
I don't think they could because that's not the style of quarterback that they are. And you know what? That's not an indictment on those two guys. You are what you are. I don't want to run that play with Tom Brady. You saw what happened when Tom Brady tried to scramble last night. That poor dude.
Bountygate was back last night, it felt like.
He looked like a giraffe last night running. Pillow Fight Dan, offense was putrid. Everyone will be fired. Thankfully now, I guess. Yeah, there you go. Eastside Chris, Brady, maybe Vic is on the brick by brick program. How many comparisons have people made to Vic Fangio and Steve
Adazio? We were done.
Decided he might have to break out a game. Went 75% with Judy in lineups. Bad, bad, bad. Oh, yeah. No. I would. The only guys I'm playing right now, if I am in fantasy or whatever, I'm out. I lost. I was there for a while, and things just didn't go out that way for me. Is you're going to go with one of the running backs, but do you even trust that Gordon and Javonte is going to get the carries they need and deserve? Javonte Williams had like 3 carries with 4 minutes left in the first half. This is a bad offense. Not because of the offensive line or the skill position players. Quarterback is not great, and your coaching staff is absolutely awful. Vic Fangio is absolutely awful. You want to know how to gift wrap momentum? Just ask Vic Fangio to run your end of half situation. You're driving down the field, 2:40 left, right? How much time was left on the clock to begin the first half? Or to begin that possession to end the first half, excuse me. You missed the field goal? Let's see. 3:30 left. 3:30 on their own 21. Are you okay? You're tied 3-3. 3:30 left on your own 21. Are you playing for a touchdown or a field goal?
I'm playing for a touchdown, but once I get to a certain point, like 25, 30-yard line, I'm going to play it a little safer depending on the clock.
I get you.
Get your guy there to kick a field goal. I do it in Madden all the time.
Maybe your Madden skills should carry over to this. You know, it's funny that you say that. 10 years ago, we would have laughed at that. 5 years ago and said, come on, dude, it's Madden. This is how common sense, this is how much like common sense seems to go into these poor decisions. 3:30 left. There was no urgency at all. Let me look at this possession. Javonte Williams, run for 1 yard. I like it, but then get up and do something with it. Oh, shotgun. Let's run her again. 3 yards.
You know what it is? And I told you last week, it's analytics.
You think Vic Fangio gets analytics?
Not him personally, but someone gives it to him. And I think that's hurting a lot of teams right now.
I don't know.
They're outsmarting themselves.
I think Pat Shurmur tries to, but I think Vic Fangio's clueless. Dude, it's 3:30. How many plays do you think you can get off in a minute and a half?
You said at the 20, 25?
I'm at the 21. I'm at my own 21.
At least 50 yards for a field goal.
How many can you get off before the two-minute warning? You got a minute and a half. How many can you get off?
Three or four.
They got two. They ran the ball twice, and then they let it go to the two-minute warning. So now it's 3rd and 6, 2 minutes left. Okay, you get the penalty. 3rd and 1, you run it again. 3 runs, and I'm not complaining about the runs necessarily. It's the timing of those runs. 3 runs. 3rd and 1, you get it. Okay, 1st and 10, you go in the no huddle. Minute 34. Now you've wasted 2 minutes. 2 minutes, you ran twice, took it to the two-minute warning, had a penalty, and then ran it again. You have now wasted 2 minutes of clock, and you're only on your own 31. Bridgewater throws a nice pass to Javonte Williams, but it's only 3 yards. Again, that's what Teddy Bridgewater does. He's going to throw 3, 5, 6 yards. 2nd and 7, Teddy Bridgewater, short right to Noah Fant. He takes off. He gets 11 yards. Then since he calls a timeout, you have a minute left. You are now on your own, 45. Now you got a nice one because Javonte Williams takes off. Or no, excuse me, that was the next play. Then you get it to Melvin Gordon. He takes off for a nice 8-yard carry. Now that gets your third down conversion. Timeout. Denver finally starts calling timeouts. 28 seconds left. You are playing suddenly. They're playing how you said to play. If you get inside that 20-25, now you start being a little careful once the clock starts going down. The problem is the Broncos were playing for a field goal with 3:30 left.
Yeah, you should have had at least a minute and a half once you got in the 30.
Letting the clock...
Give yourself time, but you had, three timeouts to go?
Yeah, you had all your timeouts. And you ran it twice in a row, and then you let it go to the two-minute warning. If you're going to... There's so many things wrong with that.
Is he just like afraid of field goal drives? Because that's like the third drive I can remember that they've had bad drives that didn't or did not end with a field goal.
Well, they got the field goal. They won a 51-yarder. McGinnis just missed it. Wasn't it a 51-yarder? They missed it. So, I mean, that's not going to happen very often. McGinnis makes field goals. But you don't play with 3:30 left to make a field goal. You play for a touchdown, and if you don't get it, then you hope that you've at least got to the 20 by that time, by that process, and then you can kick a field goal. If you run the run play option, is it not better to run it with quarterback's strong side? Should they have ran it to the right side? If they were going to do this, should they have ran it to the right side?
Well, yeah, because Drew Lock's right-handed. If anything, fake a
if you do have any kind of a threat
out,
of a pass.
And then maybe there's someone in the flat or
something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't play football. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't play, though.
I just press X on the controller and it gives
true.
Me the play.
But it just, if I'm a defense and I see him rolling left, I'm going, okay, the chances of him passing here are less than him passing on his right side. Not good, folks. Our Power to Play Sports poll question. I'd like to hear from you guys on this. Who's to blame more for this? Pat Shurmur, Vic Fangio, or Drew Lock? The play. I'm talking about the play. That play likely decided the game, right? That was the game. Who's to blame more? You can go vote at thewholeshow.com. You know where I'm going. I'm actually going Pat Shurmur. Because I do not... Here's the thing. I don't trust that Vic Fangio even knows. I think the play call comes in and he goes, yeah, it's fine, Pat.
Yeah, well, how much does he know about offense? I want to say Drew Lock for execution, but that's also on Drew Lock and the center and the miscommunication for whatever that was. But the, who called the play?
Pat Shurmur.
In that situation,
sure seems like
can't
he
do that.
Unless I'm wrong and Vic Fangio for some reason decided to say, you know what, I'm going to try my hand at a play call here. Let's try that Rippo or something. Come on, the Rippo.
Spider 2Y Banana, something like that.
Yeah. Pat Shurmur for calling is what's leading in the clubhouse today. 54%. 36% saying Drew Lock. 9% saying Vic Fangio. Is Drew Lock the future quarterback? No, I'm done with that game. But I am saying he's in the game. So you call the plays that work for him. What was he doing well? He was hitting those out routes. He was busting it on those out routes. Let's go away from that. 12:25 the time. Let's take a short break. Go answer the poll question. I'm curious. Are there any... Drew Lock? We're tight. It's tight here. Nobody blames Vic Fangio because I think you guys are just like, dude, the guy's old. Let him go. We'll be right back.
Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to one of our great sponsors, and that is No Limit Collectibles. My dad came up this weekend. He was admiring the basement that we put together. Oh boy, about two years ago. Wow, it's been that long. And we got it decked out. We have some great stuff hanging up throughout sports memorabilia. And my dad's a diehard sports guy, so admiring it. It's great because you can show it off. You show off your den, your man cave, your office. Thanks to No Limit Collectibles, you can make that place pop and showcase some of the best moments. Maybe not a read option from Drew Lock. Maybe not. Maybe we're not going to put that one up there. But the Broncos have certainly had those amazing moments. The Nuggets, the Rockies, the Avs, the Rams, all of them. Some amazing moments that you want to showcase and have them live on forever. That's No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. I want to keep on Broncos, Bengals here. That game was colossal. That was huge. The Bengals are now fourth in the playoff standings. The Broncos are pretty much out of this thing. I mean, is it mathematically possible? It is, but a lot of things are going to have to go right for them. We'll talk about that, but the Nuggets didn't play. The Rams didn't play. We got some COVID stuff going on, and we want to check on the Nuggets' latest. They were set to play the Nets, a depleted Nets. I thought you were maybe trying out for this team, Angel, because they had nobody. They were.
I could have.
Yeah, you might have, man. Maybe could have. It was a tough situation for the Nets. Boy, so we'll see how that one progresses. How do you reschedule some of these games? If you get to the point where there's like four or five, it's going to be tough to do. College is one thing because you're playing one or two games per week. NBA is playing, what, typically 3 to 4 times per week. So that becomes a lot more difficult, especially because of the travel situation. We'll talk to Chris Dempsey. Let's see if we can get him on the line. I know he's traveling back, actually, from NYC as the Nuggets get set to go back on Wednesday against the Thunder, I believe. So will we? It's been a while. So the Nuggets played on Friday night, took care of Atlanta. We'll see what we can expect. First, though, before we talk to Chris, let's jump out of here real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I got to tell you, on the rock slicker, man, I'm thinking about them right now because you got Christmas coming up this weekend. It doesn't feel like it, but you got Christmas coming up this weekend. New Year's right around the corner. I'm more of a low-key guy. I'm not out running around doing too much. I like to get a six-pack or whatever, a nice bottle of wine, bring it back to the house, maybe sit down and watch a lot of the games. The Witcher 2's out, all that, man. I'm a homebody when it comes to that. You don't have to be a homebody. You can just, you know, do what you got to do, but enjoy on the rocks liquor if you're going to have that party or go to a party, BYOB, all that stuff. Be responsible, though. On the rocks liquor does say, hey, do your thing, but if you're going to go about it, be responsible. The game beer of the week is Left Hand Brewing in Longmont. It's a peanut butter milk stout nitro. Sounds pretty good for, I mean... I would say snow. It's still cold out there, so it makes sense. It's still cold. Pick up selection from Left Hand or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Okay, so the Nuggets game against Brooklyn didn't happen. You certainly have weird stuff going on there, man. I mean, is it so much like, are they getting testing positive? Is it contact tracing? I mean, all of that going into it. Brooklyn suddenly, I mean, you bring Kyrie Irving back and boom, he's put in the COVID protocols. So weird stuff happening.
I think I would say most of it's probably contact tracing, just the way that the rules are set up, just to have precautions over everything. So, and if, you know, three people on the team get it, most likely everyone else on the team has close contact with them. And, you know, they're even saying if you have two players out, you have to sign a replacement player, at least one.
So, I mean, you could theoretically get a bunch of guys that are, you know.
What are the Christmas games going to look like?
Oh, man.
If you even have them.
I don't even know. I don't know how. Is this going to keep going? I mean, when do you get to the point where you say this? They're going to have to do a pause at some point, if this is the way they're doing it. Now, we can argue till we're blue in the face about should they be keeping all these players out and whatnot, but I mean,
there's at least three NHL teams that are not playing until after the break.
I mean, when's Brooklyn going to play again? I mean, because the Nuggets are fine. It's not the Nuggets on their issue, but are they rescheduling that game? Because Denver's road trips have been kind of nutty. I don't see them willingly wanting to load up and go over to the New York side of the country anytime soon.
Especially because it's an Eastern Conference team. It doesn't really hurt or help the Nuggets, so.
Do they even have it? Do you, I saw somebody throw out the wild idea. If you don't have the players, you just take the L. Take the forfeit. Because you're not rescheduling these. That's going to be too difficult.
Oh, and I'm sure the NBA is looking at they're already looking at their rules, but I'm sure there's other things that they're looking to do.
So you got, they were supposed to play tomorrow against Washington, and that has been postponed for Brooklyn. The Nuggets game Sunday. They do have at Portland on Thursday, Christmas Eve. They are scheduled to play that still. But how long does this thing go? I mean, not real sure. But they have that they're just going to look out, I guess, 2 days in front. You're looking at the NFL schedule, and it's absolutely nutty. I mean, you got how many? Two Monday games, I should say.
And then two games tomorrow. A day off Thursday.
Yeah. You got Vegas and Cleveland at 3 o'clock. You got your regularly slated Monday night game, Minnesota-Chicago. Then you have a Tuesday set up. Seattle at Los Angeles, and then Washington at Philadelphia. No game was Wednesday as of right now, and then Thursday. So we're only going to have one day without football this week.
Ugh.
Which I guess is not the end of the world.
What an awful thing.
But it's just weird how we're doing this thing. The Raiders are going to play today, though. The Broncos will get them on a short week. And it sounds like it is going to be Drew Lock. There was debate on the Broncos side whether it would be Drew Lock or Brett Rippon, potentially. It is going to be Drew Lock if Teddy can't go. And Teddy shouldn't go. This is ridiculous. What are we doing out here? Teddy shouldn't go. But anyway, that was the story. CSU was supposed to play Tulsa on Saturday. They're supposed to play Alabama tomorrow. That game we were so excited to see. Are you still going? What's your plans?
Yes, we still have tickets to the game itself because it's the CM Newton Classic or something. So I think Bama rescheduled to play Davidson.
So there's going to be a game.
Another good game, a team, I guess. So. I'm a little bummed because I really wanted to see CSU and talk some smack with you guys.
Thought it would have been good, man.
We have to wait till March for that one.
And let me just say this, and you saw my tweet. It is not just Bama fans. It is other fans throughout the country. And I'll admit, it happened here, locally. The idea that teams are too scared to play. So that's not happening. It's not happening. First off, it's COVID. So we got two Monday games today. We got Tuesday night. We got Tuesday night football, folks. It's happening all over the country. So, and I will say this, like, not all of Bama's doing this, but there are the goofy fans, just like we have them here, that are, you guys are too scared to come play us. That's not what CSU is doing at all. CSU needs this game. They want this game.
I mean, Bama needs this game, too. I mean, I follow Bama social media, and people are like, oh, man, I really wanted to see this game. This was a top 25 matchup for us, you know. A lot of them haven't seen CSU, so they didn't really know how good the team was. And I would say, oh, no, this CSU team's really, really good. But yeah, it sucks. But you know, health and safety comes first, and we can meet again in March. It's fine.
Yeah, meet again in March. That's the way it goes. CSU, just from my sources, you know, all I'm hearing right now is everybody's good. That it is more precautionary stuff. So what does that mean then? Are we just worried about, you know, somebody? Is it the are we back to the contact tracing then? Is that what that is?
Probably what it is, especially with this new variant out. We're still learning stuff about it, how contagious it is. So I think precaution, close contact, wearing masks, all that basic stuff comes back into play.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Let's see, Dixon chiming in. Hey, Brady, you asked who is to blame. Oh, there it is. Here it comes. The John Elway attacks. I mean, what more do you want us to do, Dixon? He's not doing anything. He's not calling the shots. Hey, Brady, you asked who is to blame. Who hired Fangio? And who hired Joseph instead of Shanahan? Therein lies your answer. Yes. No argument. That was a bad hire. I've never been a fan of that hire. Here we are. Nothing's changed. Still don't like the hire. But then once you know, just like Adazio, once the hire's made, you kind of got to go, all right, I guess somebody sees something. Let's see what happens. And then it doesn't work out. I'm talking about who's the blame for the read option play. Is Elway the one come on.
You want to point blame to somebody, I guess you got to just go all the way down the line.
You want to go all the way down the line? I saw somebody tweet the other day, a guy that I follow, a great reporter, who said, you know, hey, we're throwing this idea out that George Payton's so good. They're 7-7, about to miss the playoffs. What's miraculous about him? Let me just say this. I actually am all in on George Payton. I'm all in. I think this roster is very good. I think he put a Band-Aid over the Bronco or over the quarterback position. I think he put a Band-Aid over it. I don't think he was in love with any of the quarterback. He was not in love with Mac Jones, which that's a problem. But every general manager is going to miss on somebody. They're going to miss on big ones. So there was other teams that missed out on Mac Jones, too. And, well, hell, 31 teams missed out on Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, it's going to happen. So far, I like what Patrick Surtain is going to be. He's going to be an all-pro corner, man. I mean, he's a very good rookie. There's no question. He's going to be a great cornerback for years to come. And you've got that position solidified. Stitch up your inside linebacker spot, and your defense is going to be solid next year. He put a Band-Aid over the quarterback position, hoping that Teddy Bridgewater would have benefited. And I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to finally stick up for Teddy here. Teddy or Drew, I think, could have done much better this year if you would have had a competent coaching staff. And that's unfair to both of those guys.
Well, I mean, Teddy went 6-0 in New Orleans with Peyton, so.
And he was still better when he was still better in his Minnesota career collectively than what he showed us here with Denver. Pat Shurmur doesn't understand his personnel. And I know, I didn't play either. Yeah, people give us that crap, but I don't think you have to play to know what you're seeing on the field, guys. Nobody thought Drew Lock was a read option. Oh, well, Brady, that's all the more reason to call it. This league is too fast to get cute. It's too fast. Look at Tim Tebow. Look how great he was in college. He was the best ever, perhaps. Maybe the best quarterback to ever play a college football game. We use the term quarterback loosely, but he ran. You can't do those same things on a consistent basis in the NFL. So you can get cute, and you might fake the defense out. You might have even faked him out. Let's say that DN doesn't come out. How many yards are we talking about getting before Drew Lock's tackled? He's not slow, but he's not as fast as those guys. The closing speed's ridiculous. It's a frustrating day. Who do you put the blame on the most? What do we got for texters? My text is, it's not full enough. What do we got there on the text line? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I just read Dixon's mind. It's frozen in time, apparently. Dixon texted in and caused chaos.
Eastside Chris here. Mac Jones would not been who he is with this coaching staff. And I agree.
I agree, too.
Mac is like the perfect fit for New England system. And it's hard to get that perfect fit at quarterback. You know, it took the Chiefs how long to get Mahomes. It took the Packers how long to get Rodgers or Brady or whoever. It takes a fit. And sometimes when you hit it, it hits. But every other quarterback you have on there is not going to hit.
You're right. And that's true. But then at some point you have to look at it and say, okay, is it just the fact that you're not hitting because you're not syncing up? Or is it because you don't have the coaching staff? And when you start running into it, and Vic Fangio has now had a few quarterbacks to try this with, Pat Shurmur has done it with the Giants, now here, you start to look at it and say, okay, this combo is not working. So this is not a quarterback-friendly environment here. So what you do is you keep building defensively, you go get an offensive-minded guy, pair him up with a good quarterback, and away you go. That's how you draft next year. You draft a quarterback in the first round, or you get Russell Wilson. And then you build the rest of the draft on your defensive side. You really build that up. You get your interior linebacking spot figured out. You find your, you're not going to find your Micah Parsons, but you hope to. You keep building. You got some good corners. You're going to see how that's going to look in free agency. 12:49 at the time. I know we got a break. Before we do that, shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley, Evans area. Their services are as unique as life. 970-330-6824. Give them a call today. It's really an awesome gift. It's a tough gift. It's hard. I get it. It's a difficult conversation, but it's a necessary one. Their website is Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, MosierFuneralService.com. 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break, wrap up hour number one. We still got Zach Stevens coming up from DNVR Broncos, deep Broncos talk. Couldn't catch up with Chris Dempsey. I think he's on a plane right now. We'll be right back.
Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Little breaking news coming in, not Broncos related, but you saw that rough performance by the Buccaneers last night, getting shut out. Was that the first time ever for Tom Brady? That's crazy.
First time in like 15 years.
Oh, really? He did get shut out before? Chris Godwin is out for the season. He has torn his ACL. He's done for the year. That significantly impacts the Buccaneers' chances of repeating. Now, again, there might be doubts anyway because of that performance last night, but no doubt about it, that significantly impacts this team. Chris Godwin, out for the season. I see it. Pillow Fight Dan sharing this with me. I got the overhead shot that Drew Lock has to hand that off. Yes, I agree. He made the wrong read. Did I once say he didn't make the wrong read?
I didn't think he'd get a chance to make a read at all.
It was. I watched it again. It was a high snap. It was a high snap. But why are we running this damn play? That is the issue. I'm looking at the overhead. Yes, it's open. Javonte Williams can run in the middle. You do have a linebacker approaching that hole. I don't know. He's probably going to fall forward, but why not just run the damn ball anyway? I'm actually watching the Buccaneers. I know they didn't score any points, but they did have like three or four runs late in that game. And they got pulling guards are just creating this wedge, this wall along the, so you're like right in between out of bounds. You're like running through a tunnel. I'm like, why don't the Broncos ever set anything up quite like that? It never really happens. So it's a difficult thing, no doubt about it, when you look at this situation of Drew Lock. Okay, I get it. He's not there. He didn't make the right read. But this offense is not good. Pat Shurmur calls the wrong plays time and time again. Vic Fangio has terrible clock management skills time and time again. So we want to say Drew Lock's the issue. Okay, we're all agreeing on that. But the bigger issue is Pat Shurmur. If you could pick one to get rid of today, it's either Vic or Pat. I'm sorry, I'm taking even Teddy over Vic or Pat, I promise you. Oh, my goodness. All right, second hour coming up. We got a lot to get to. Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider, coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.